Hi,
Hi,
everyone. Hello. Hi, I'm Chris, I'm an addict. Oh my God, Leslie, you're amazing. Not only you look amazing, you are amazing. So, big that I had a hoodie when I started, right? And my camera was shut and I had a hoodie. And then I went and changed clothes, put a tie, and I'm wearing pajamas underneath because clearly, Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is still here. I will start with a prayer. God, please lay aside everything I think I know about this disease, these steps, this program, myself, and especially you, God, so I can have an open mind and a new experience with this disease, these steps, this program, this book, myself, and especially you, God. I've said that prayer already twice. Maybe I want attention, I said it loud, but it's such a beautiful prayer, and that prayer has saved my ass multiple times in recovery, and I'm still saying that every morning and every night. And multiple times during the day when I'm thinking, because I need new ideas. I need new thinking, because my old thinking leads me to, how much time do I have, by the way, John and Mikey?
25 minutes, Chris.
25. Let me put me on like little thingy here. 25. One sec. I'll put 20. Three, there you go. So my old thinking ideas leads me to being closeted, not coming out when I was younger because I was full of shame and guilt. Then coming out and then doing decisions such as sleeping around endlessly with other guys without, without being careful. I'll leave it there. It's recorded, so you gotta sound good. It leads me to relationships that were like passionate, like Bridget Jones, but I end up like messing them out, like Bridget Jones did. But my own insecurities, you're not calling me, you're not texting me, you're not making efforts. Why you haven't responded to me? Not sleeping until like 6 o'clock in the morning because you didn't send to me, looking out for the two ticks in WhatsApp. It leads me to going to the gym 6 times a week, getting six pack, and then putting on weight, like tons of weight. And so going from 68 kilos to 94, it leads me to calling in sick at work when I'm not sick, but I just cannot be arsed, and I take a little pill and I put it here, I'm like, hi, I'm not feeling well. What else does it lead me to? Oh, I love payday loans. I've done payday loans as well. This is something we have here in the UK, Leslie. When you go and you get credit, you have great, yeah. So, and then if you're like me, you never then pay them back. And sorry, there's only 6 years on your credit, so you might as well just live life. So that's my self-will. I'm not nice to my parents, by the way. That's my self-will. That's my old ideas. That's where it leads me to. And then eventually I find the drug of no choice, crystal meth, but I could do anything, you know what I mean? And Cocaine Anonymous is a fellowship that covers every drug, including alcohol, which is a drug. Anyway, I found my drug of choice. Then I get into really dark spaces because I take it and I have sex with people, and I thought I've arrived. And now after another breakup, with Gary, bless him where he is, I made amends to him. And then I'm like, I've arrived. I'm gonna start doing this lifestyle and it'll be all good. And I don't need to have any feelings. I will never get hurt again. What happens though is that the minute I took that first one, something happened. I was gone. I liked it too much. And just because I was doing it IV doesn't mean anything really. I just found the way that I like it. The other guys don't, my friends who go out in lovely Vauxhall in London, they go and take the tops off and have a good time. But I just found a way I like it. And then the consequences start coming in, health conditions, arrests, obviously calling in sick at work, getting fired. Well, I went, I left the company, but I was getting close to getting fired because I used my company account to go and find a hotel and go to another town to get drugs. Because I'm a classy lady, classy bird, not lady, classy, like classy guy. Sorry, I don't know what I'm on about. I'm just getting too excited. But yes, so yeah, that's my self-will. Eventually, crystal meth becomes a major problem. The consequences don't stop me. The sweet promises don't stop me. Something happens. I could be sitting in the middle of the night, and suddenly the thought comes into use. and it's so overpowering, it becomes paramount to anything else. I'm in a little tunnel and off I go and use. The obsession is so strong, I cannot resist. And I do what key workers tell me, which is laugh at it, laugh at the craving, you know, and I sit in my bed like that and I'm like, I'm laughing my craving. And then I'm looking at a wave. Look at the wave of the craving. It will go down. And I'm looking at the wave and I'm like, fuck this, I'm going to go and use. So play the tape forward. I can't do that. I cannot play the tape forward. My tape doesn't work. So all the tools that look to normal people, they work. They do not work for me. So what happens is eventually I got another fellowship. I was in and out for a lot of time. And I was doing steps 1, 2, 3, 1 too many times. I had a sponsor. I walked the steps, but something was not just sticking in. I don't know what it was. I just kept going out. And eventually my manageability was that I couldn't stand myself. I couldn't be with me. I would see myself in the mirror and I would say, you're a failure. I was paranoid and psychotic. That's what I'm using where in the end, paranoia and psychosis. The minute I took one in and I couldn't find a vein, I didn't care, I just put anywhere. That's where I went, running a life on self-will. And then I would get paranoid, psychotic. The cops are outside. I can listen to people like I could hear voices. I think I'm speaking to whatever I'm speaking to. And then something happens and I do it all over again and again and again and again and again. I hate myself at that point. I cannot stand myself. My dad is not talking to me. I cannot really perform at work because I'm always on a calm down. And you know, when you're in a calm down, you're not really performing. At least I wasn't. Sorry, that's my dog. That'll be on the bloody recording, the dog. Great. Anyway, so I came to CA this time around back in 2017, and I was like, I wasn't in CA at that point, but I was in AA, and then I found a sponsor who was in CA and introduced me to CA in Bristol. And, he said, we'll meet up every week, we'll go through the step work, go to meetings, do service, arrive 15 minutes earlier, stay 15 minutes late, always look for the opportunities for service, there's a chair that needs to be picked up. There is always something in the rooms to do, call at least 2 people every day. And I call a lot of people. Like, I love my drama, so I call a lot of people, share my drama, you know what I mean? Now I try to go a bit more to God first and then end up calling someone rather than the first port of call being calling someone. But that's over time experience and being blessed with another sponsor. He gave me some new suggestions. And then what else did he say to me? Yeah, go to your meetings every day, pray every morning, read the big book 8687, do a gratitude list. Okay, that's his preference. Doesn't mean that you have to do gratitude list, but my sponsor suggested that. And in the night, say thank you on your knees and for a sober day. And I did that. I don't know why God chose me to stay clean. I do not know why. I'm the chronic relapser. I go back out. I'm in another fellowship, a couple of fellowships. And for some reason, I couldn't fucking stay clean. And I do not know why that October something happened and I stayed clean. I do not know. Yes, I was beaten up again. And yes, this time I realized I'm at my match. This, something will always happen to me and I will always like stand up and go and use. No matter what happens, I will always use. But is that a real reason why I stopped? I do not know. So, and then I start making new friends in the fellowship. I went to the meetings. I start doing my beautiful step 4, which is an amazing step because it opened my eyes. For the first time, I am not the victim of the universe. And it's not all your fault there. It's not Marcus's fault or Joe's fault or Janet's fault or whoever's fault. It's like I have a part to blame anything. And that's a new revelation to life for someone who always blamed others. So step 4 did the magic. And then there was step 5 as well, which I shared with my sponsor who had done some crazy shit himself. And then 6 and 7, initially I didn't understand 6 and 7. It was 2 paragraphs. I didn't understand 6 and 7. I remember finishing 5, staying up for an hour at home and saying something to God, take it everything. Take it all. Take it all. I am giving that to you. Because I fucked up big time in life. I hope tells the media can take that out. Anyway, swearing is not good, is it? But, So, and then 8 and 9, you see, I start doing 9. And then midway through, I kind of lost the impetus to do it. So I kind of sat on 9 for a long time, although we did move to 10. And again, I did a bit of 10. 10 I knew is a daily inventory, yeah? But I didn't fall exactly the watch my sponsors to me, watch my new sponsors to me, watch for those defects, the selfishness, the fear, the dishonesty. And then ask God to remove them. And then 10, you thought of someone you could help. I didn't follow that paragraph, as it says specifically, you know. And then I did 11, prayer meditation. And I've been doing prayer meditation, you know, with God's grace. I've been doing that for like since 2 years, 2.5 years ago. And I hated prayer meditation. I thought, let's not pray that much, meditation specifically, because I thought, what's the point of sitting quiet when you're supposed to be doing stuff? I don't get it. Why do people make a big deal out of staying quiet? What's the point of staying quiet? But I've been doing it. I've tried lots of different things. You know, I've tried lots of different things, and I'm trying center and prayer at the minute, which is good for me. And, you know, I'm trying things. So there's people around me who gave me different things, and I did different things over the years with that. And I will keep doing different things, and that's the exciting part of 11. And then 12, carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. And then obviously, practice these principles in all my affairs. That is the hardest part for me, guys, ladies and gents. That's the hardest part, because I can practice these principles in the 12-step rooms easily. I like to help others. Well, now I do anyway. You know, I like to be giving. I like to be going to meetings. However, how about practicing these principles at home with my mother that does my nuts, you know? How about practicing these principles at work when I'm lazy and I'm like, can't be asked to go to work? How about practicing these principles with a boyfriend that I never had a sober relationship for 5 years, and now I have a sober relationship, and now I spend Christmas with my boyfriend, my mom, and this, and my dog, and this is a miracle of recovery. How about that, you know? So I did the steps the first time, but there's not the steps. Steps are designed for living, as Leslie said, you know? And, you know, and I wasn't a happy bunny. I liked to moan, and I liked to moan a lot. And for 2 years, I felt a lot of mourning going on. I was happy much more than I was before, because I was given a fucking new, brand new life. I mean, of course. But I was still kind of mourning. So my friend then said to me, have you thought about speaking to this guy in Spain to have a new experience with a higher power? So I call him, and we start going through the steps again. And it's not been an easy process. Why? Because I have ideas and opinions about steps. And clearly, like, he says to me one thing, I go to something a little bit different. And then, like, he calls on my crap. And then I'm like, oh, my God. I throw a little tantrum and, you know, he wins. if there's such a thing. So this round of the steps is a bit different, God's willing. You know, I find out a bit more reliance on prayer. Lay aside prayer has become regular prayer for me. Fear prayer has become a regular prayer for me, you know. And I use that a lot of times on the day. I woke up last night after a lovely evening in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock, and I felt like this heaviness in my chest. Guess what? Had a cup of water, down on my knees, lay aside prayer, fear prayer, and went and slept like a baby. You know, I'm using more, like, I'm doing another step 10 at the minute. And you know, I'm scared. Do I forget to practice it? Because, you know, I have to be watching for these defects to come. I have to be asking for this to be removed. And more importantly, I have to turn my thoughts. And my thoughts is where the crux of the problem is. That is where my problem is. That's where the disease of addiction is, in between my ears, as the previous speaker said, you know. Because obviously, you know, that's the problem. So I have to ask God to remove it, and then turn my thoughts resolutely to someone I could help. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I could just call this person or text them to see how they are. But it says resolutely turn our thoughts, you know. So I'm having new experience, guys, by working the steps again. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense, but it does to me. You know, I did the step 9 imperfectly as I did it. I did more amends than I did on the first step 9, and I call people. We did this Zoom thing or camera thing, you know, on the phone, because obviously there's a COVID pandemic crisis. And we spoke, and I owned my crap, and, you know, and most of the people have been lovely. And it's a learning experience. So I don't know how much time do I have. Let me have a look. God, I've got 9 minutes. Yes. And then I get to spend Christmas like a normal person with a partner. with a mother, with a dog, eating lots of food, watching Home Alone, Bridget Jones' Diary, you know, doing all the good stuff that normal people do, you know. And it doesn't come easy to an addict. But without my prayer life, without me using my step 10, without me using my last night prayer, without me trying to do all that stuff, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. And it does work, because when I'm practicing step 10, I'm thinking, I can't be asked with my boyfriend. He's next to me. And I'm like, whatever. I just can't be asked. You know, like Leslie said, like, oh, just I'd rather be alone right now. No, but then I'm thinking, how can I think of his needs? How can I think of his needs? Not my wants and crazy head. Because my crazy head can push people away. Yeah, so I don't know if I have much more to say. I think, yeah, so basically if you're new, you know, the deal is between you and God, really. I'm sorry to have to tell you the news, but the good news is that the deal is between you and God, yeah? I don't know why higher power chose me, or I don't know, whatever, to stay clean. You know, I have a sponsor recently that they relapsed, and it break my heart. He was my star sponsor, and then, you know, and then they relapsed. And I want to blame myself and what have I done wrong and all that stuff, because this is human connection, yeah? A sponsor to me is not just a number or someone I speak to. You know, there's children behind, there's families behind. It's like for me. Anyway, but, you know, I'm not God. I don't know how to deal with that stuff myself. All I know is that I am staying clean, that I am practicing the program day at a time, imperfectly as I do. And some reason I'm staying clean, and I'm here to carry the message, and I'm here to see more of the steps, God's willing, more of the power of the steps, because the more I'm unleashing the steps, the more I'm coming close to my creator, the more life gets better. And that's my experience. First round of the steps was really good. It helped me. Second round of the steps, even better. So who knows what's next, yeah? But it's a day-to-time program, and thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you.